Welcome to Doing Sustainability, a podcast that features practical and actionable approaches to sustainability, brought to you by Baker. In every episode, we have enlightened conversations with corporate and business leaders on the vision, motivation, actions, and impacts of sustainability.
We discuss best practices, fresh perspectives, tips, and solutions to help a company demonstrate its ESG commitment and position themselves for long-term success. Hi, I'm your host, Rocket.
And I'm your host, Gary. Let's start the show. Today, we're talking with Karima Houdat. Welcome.
Thank you.
Great to be talking to you. Karima is a woman of color from a small town in India who became a global nomad. Over generations, her family journeyed from the villages and small towns of India to North America. Conscious of opportunities she had that others didn't, she realized early on that her core purpose is to accelerate a world where everyone has the opportunity to rise. She's a global citizen who's lived in over 40 countries. And for over 20 years, she's worked at senior levels at Fairtrade International, Mondelez International, Nike, and other organizations, building and executing business-integrated people and planet strategies and catalyzing system-changing industry innovation to accelerate the race to save the planet. She launched her company, Illumin Earth, in 2003. Her vision within our generation, see a world where all nature and people thrive. Her mission is to illuminate and accelerate the journey. Welcome.
Thank you.
To Doing Sustainability.
Thank you.
A pleasure to have you.
It's a pleasure to be here.
You talk about what you do as regenerative resonance leadership programs to activate leaders' ability to significantly scale their positive impact and people on the planet in a way that also regenerates them in return. I want to jump right into this. I want to know about that because I think I need a little bit of that.
I think all of us need a little bit of that. The latest thing that popped up on LinkedIn today was the U.S. lost $1.9 trillion in productivity just last year.
Yes.
From burnout. Yeah, we have until 2030 to curb climate change, and we agreed as a world to reduce our carbon footprint by 40% between 2019 and 2030. And instead of doing that, we're actually going to increase it by 10%. So we're making 50% out. We are going to be off our nature protection goal by half. And we have still 1 billion people in abject poverty and 2 billion people living in conflict zones. So something's got to give. We have to do something different. And we're at a point where we know the problems. The data is not new. Nobody listening to this podcast will sit up and say, aha, I didn't know that. We also know that the sustainability profession is booming. The leadership development profession is booming. And there's enough resource and there are enough solutions and tools and technology out there. And the solutions keep increasing at an exponential rate. So the big question is, well, how come we know the problems? How can we know the solutions and we're not matching the problems and solutions fast enough? And so for me, this was really a life mission to think through how can I play my role to accelerate this world where we all want to live and where everybody's next generations thrive. And so I look back and I've lived in 5 countries, visited 42, but really worked with leaders of all types, right? We always think about leaders as the world leaders, or we think about them as the business leaders, but the leaders that I've learned from are those and young people in the slums that have the most innovative businesses or community groups or farmers in the middle of nowhere in Indonesia who are doing incredibly innovative things and are making big strides. And so I reflected on that wisdom and thought, sort of, what is it that these people have in common? And what is the science saying? What is the data saying about this? And truly, what the best leaders in the world have in common are they know who they are. They have a very strong attachment to their identity and they're unabashed about it, including what the world might think is imperfections, right? Like dyslexia or not being able to read or having a disability. So very, very knowledgeable, very clear, very open about who they are, about their multiculturalism, about their gender, about their identity. Second part is they know their why. They have a very clear purpose, and it's deep, and it's very linked to where they come from intergenerationally. And the third is they have a very clear connection to the outside world, both to nature and to community, humanity. They're giving back to humanity. They're giving back to nature. They're getting back from it, and it's replenishing them. It's helping them not only fulfill their mission, but it's filling them up. So using these four pillars of what really makes people centered and able to have unending energy, unending spirit, unending drive to do more without burning themselves out, I built this program that I've launched recently.
Wow. And I think that, as you say, in some of your posts that I've read, you know, it allows them to really have legendary dreams, have wild and big dreams, but where they, you know, they really see a world where those dreams come true and creating that impact for coming generations, you know, is really where they can understand to leave a legacy. And you say a legacy of light. What a wonderful mental image. I have a ring that I've worn for years that is just typographically, it says, emit light to shine. And it goes in a little circle. And when I bought it, it was sort of a clunky ring. And just last week, the piece that was the type piece fell out of it. So I've got to take it to the jeweler and have it fixed. But I didn't like necessarily the clunky ring, but I loved the sentiment because it's so true. And I've worn it for years. Some of the type is coming, you know, it's harder to see now, but emit light to shine.
Exactly. And there's a light in all of us. And so many of us have our lights dimmed, whether it's burnout, whether it's concern around climate risk, whether it's constantly seeing one war after another. We have two wars ongoing. We have many wars ongoing in the world, but we have two major wars that look like World War III was going to start. And we really need to claw back. And by the way, I have friends in these war zones, right? And who are living through this every day. And I thought we have to have a change. So this regenerative resonance program is perennial. It's evergreen. It's to have everywhere, for all the time. But for me, this year needed to be about light. 2024 needed to be about light. It needed to be about bringing us all back to the light, into a state where we know that we regenerate. But when we regenerate, we find our inner light, and that inner light guides us. And we find the inner light in the teams we lead, in the people we touch, and causes we touch. Because that's really the point around having regenerative life, right? To having this feeling that feel good. You feel like your light shines bright and that you're helping other people shine their light bright.
You turn it on and you think how everybody likes to bathe and feel the sun.
So I'm going to go on with a little bit the other side. We deal a lot with American corporations. Mm-hmm. So how does your work enter their headspace? If you were brought into a corporation, what do you typically do in that situation?
You generally need that leader who's been hankering after the light, who knows that if they were to do it over again, they might have my job that I had in corporations as a sustainability leader, or if they had $1 billion, they would go and find an environmental organization or help solve poverty. But for 20 years, they've been a corporate leader and done nothing else. And most of the partners that I found when I was inside companies, and those are the partners that I find now who say, actually, let's try something different. And it's been transformational. When I was inside companies, the leaders that I've just taken to forests to see what was going on have transformed to become the biggest champions of their people to do this kind of work, whether it was on the D&I space or the sustainability space. Some of them have even become sustainability experts now within other companies, which is phenomenal, right? Because they're living now their purpose. And so even as an outsider now, I find those people that have the light in them, that they know that they haven't given themselves permission to shine that light because they are, you know, tried and true on a track to be a business leader, but they want to create the space for their people to do something different. So that's find that person and you'll have your partner for life.
I liked when you, when I read in an article that you, another post that you had said, I guess it was the announcement of your new company, that leaders today face a trifecta of global challenges, humanitarian, climate crises, burnout, employee burnout, economic uncertainties, what's going to happen with AI, and all of those things are pressures on them. But I love how the light takes you beyond. It takes you into a whole nother dimension where you actually not necessarily address these things separately, but they all are impacted by the light in the sense of helping, you know, the me, us, and the world, you know, where it's just everything gets addressed and people, you know, live in harmony and balance prevail for not just the leader, as you say, centering them, but it helps their people. It helps, you know, all of these crises in the world. So I found it incredibly inspiring because, as you say, I think leaders stay in this place of business leader and they don't really see the connection of how addressing the other problems, you know, you're by becoming someone who has a regenerative ways, both, you know, you start doing your business, you start doing your personal life, you start inspiring your employees to do it, you restore and become so much, everything becomes so much more healthier and it exponentially just multiplies for all of the addressing the actual trifecta that you started with. But when you stay in the trifecta of just saying, oh, this problem, that problem, the solution, it's really sort of beyond sustainability. I mean, beyond just business that is most effective.
Absolutely. And if you think about it, right, and history remembers those leaders who in the toughest of times were those beacons of light. Lead the best leaders look beyond the today and dare to leap to the future by being the first movers in doing things differently, whether it was going to the moon or whether it was civil rights. Somebody had to stand up and say, people think it's before its time, but it's time. Yeah. And so that's really what we need to do is to figure out who are those leaders. And those are the leaders that I'm really looking for. Who are those leaders that see, but don't have the tools and haven't given themselves the permission to do things differently. If you think about it differently from a different angle, I'm a huge bookworm, right? And so when you're a huge bookworm, you start reading legends and epics. And what you read about is a hero's journey, right? I feel like we're at the rock bottom of the hero's journey and there's nowhere to go but redemption. I'm really hoping leaders find that light of redemption by doing things more regeneratively for themselves, first of all, because if people are great leaders, if people care about the teams they lead and growing them, then they also deserve to have rest and regeneration and time and space. And then they need to have the space to bring out the best of their teams. Because I truly believe that when leaders and their teams come together and look at all of these challenges, these perma-crises that we have right now in their totality, they will, through their positive intent and ingenuity, find the solutions. And every leader in every company and every organization and solution provider will find a different angle to the solutions. But imagine if all of us become these points of light that come together and form this bright, bright wave.
And not only come together in the light, but actually, you know, what I find fascinating is how it actually creates new revenue streams. And so the business actually flourishes. It's not like you're taking anything away. You're just adding more that's healthy for both the planet as well as people on the planet.
For the skeptics, also remember that, you know, we talk about economic certainty and we talk about climate and people uncertainty. Those are all interrelated. Your economic certainty, your business future is not going to be achieved or it's going to be farther at risk when we have climate change continuing and worsening, when we have burnout worsening. The worst thing for our business is unpredictability. And this is what we're heading to. So if you're a skeptic listening to this podcast, think about it on that end as well. So not thinking about resetting yourselves and your teams could cost your business as well.
When I'm with a CEO or a leader and we're talking about the corporate brand and the impact they can have, I always ask them about what they want their legacy to be. And that's something that you have found is the common thread among all visionary leaders. Tell us about that.
So whether there are visionary leaders who look like the manager of a cooperative in rural Thailand or captain of industry, right? What they're looking for is to leave something for the next generation, right? So that somebody says this person did something good. Whereas my friend who runs a cooperative in Thailand wanted to make sure that the children on the farm thought that this was a good livelihood for them. And it was a healthier livelihood than going to work in the factories of Bangkok, where you've got a corporate leader, they're thinking about, well, what did I do all this for? Just think about the fact that by now, many corporate leaders are multimillionaires. They have more than enough money to be able to retire and live a good life. They're continuing on. So there is something more, right? So those leaders are leaving often a legacy of good leadership and creating good leaders. Business leaders are actually often leaving a legacy of enabling a lot of work around inclusion, around sustainability. They're not talking about it as much, potentially due to some backlashes that we've seen in recent years. But I think it's really important that the leaders that are quietly leaving this type of environmental or social legacy start to talk about it more again, because they are doing that. And the leaders that have, for example, backed me on the very brave deforestation fighting commitments that one of my former employers made, who are very low key, you'll never see them in public, you'll never see them post on LinkedIn, but they were the ones who got around the phone call and within 48 hours made sure that we were one of the first companies to back satellite monitoring for deforestation. Wow. That's the legacy that they've left. Now they will be very humble and not even recognize that, but that's the legacy we need more leaders to leave and be public about it.
It's very interesting. And, you know, it's not really specific to any industry. It's just, you know, I love the progression from inside to outside that encompasses, you know, start with yourself, clarify your own purpose, clarify your own space of what you want, who the best version of yourself, if you could choose it, what would it be? And then have it affect the people around you and the collaboration around you, and then actually impact into seeing it address all sorts of the problems that we are faced with, be it biodiversity or pure water or poverty, just everything and that we're faced with. So I think it's a wonderful idea. And as you say, when are you going to start? When are you going to start? We all need to ask that of ourselves. Because even, you know, when you start with yourself, you're doing it for your family. I mean, if you clarify your space, then, you know, it's not, it relates to everything in your life. Because you immediately, when you interact with others and want to be that beacon, you're creating it with the people around you. And then they're going to create it for actually changing the world to thrive, rather than where we've been in this degradation of our environment. And as you say, the employee burnout, where people are, you know, that the people are just, you know, we're not able to really. I'm really impressed with, you know, the way that you've put together these programs and the questions and the progression of what you can do with someone. You say, give me 90 days one-on-one or with your leadership time, that, you know, somebody can start to think differently.
Absolutely. And what I want people to know as well is when you start to connect your purpose to the bigger human connection to community and then to nature, it's not altruistic, right? Because most people think about, you know, this is business. And then next to it is ESG or sustainability or DE&I. Ultimately, when you start to integrate those things is when you get something back. Something as simple as people who've gone through this program, you know, just learn to go and spend time in their favorite parts of nature, whether it's taking a swim or taking a walk in a park. And that just gives them that moment of clarity. It gives that moment of reset to think about, even if it's about how to make more money, you're going to think about it much more clearly if you're in a space of stillness that brings you joy and that is completely devoid of modern technology. And so that's really, you know, what can I get back in terms of being the best of myself and being able to achieve the most of myself by being able to see the bigger picture around me and by being able to get my energy back from that bigger picture as well.
Who in this business do you respect and admire doing what you do?
So part of my journey in sort of leaving the world of work, employment, and building this and going away from full-time sustainability consulting, which is, again, very hot right now, into doing this type of work was supported by a book I read by Deepa Purushottaman, woman of color from the consulting field who works with women of color in burnout. And then with her partner, Ra Goddess, who was my coach, who helped me kind of clarify, well, what do you really want to do? What is your service to this world? So in the leadership world, it's those two. And then in business, often it's the unsung quiet leaders. I don't know if I have permission to say their names, but a couple of former leaders of mine who inside corporations said they gave their team space and cover to try and to do something different. And from the outside, they were the hardcore business people, but from the inside, they just let us do as many daring environmental and human rights pieces of work as we wanted to, because they knew it was the right thing and it needed to shift.
That's rare.
It's very rare. And I had two back to back and it was stunning. Yeah.
Very lucky.
Very lucky. And then emerging leaders. Oh, when you unlock a young person who's been told that they cannot, they are not good enough, they have to wait a few years to unleash their unlock.
Pay their dues.
Their light. Oh my goodness. When you release a young person from that dogma and that conditioning in the 25 to 35 year age, it's stunning. And then, of course, my friends who become now CSOs at different companies who were, you know, buyers of various things before and decided that saving the planet is now their life purpose and they're having a great time of it.
Well, I'm also interested how today this shift, well, first of all, I mean, it started really with the business roundtable from going, you know, to the purpose of a corporation being only for shareholders and making profit for shareholders and shifting that to, you know, taking into consideration stakeholders, which then, you know, became the customers and the employees and yes, the investors, but also communities where you do business and things like that. I thought that it was an interesting shift that now I can understand why business has moved from it being just all about competitive advantage. It still is competitive advantage almost for talent, but in the marketplace, it's also about, it's brought about collaboration in a whole different way, where businesses think about the fact that if you're making something with plants, you better start thinking about native plants being enjoined with other businesses who are reliant on plants to want to make sure that, you know, they're going to be all the native plants that you'll need in the future, or soil conservation. People didn't think like, I've got to be active and participating in making sure when you're in food production that the farmers have soil where they would grow this food. Everything, it comes a regenerative attitude of actively restoring ecosystems, whether it be from animals to plants to soil to habitat reconstruction. I think that now people are starting to think about those things and they took them for granted. You know, when they were just always about exploiting and making more money, but it was degrading the environment. But I find that really heartening. That's a good thing. But to get more and more people oriented that way.
I think we also need to shift the paradigm around shareholder value, right? Because, you know, I'm not a day trader. You know, at some point when I was 18 years old, my dad took me down to his 70-year-old stockbroker and taught me how to invest. And I've held some stocks since I was 18. And you think about the fact that those companies aren't just supposed to squeeze the juice until it's out and there's nothing more. They're supposed to give you shareholder value ongoing throughout the life cycle. And how will they if the soils are depleted, or if climate risks are at a point where you've got supply chain disruptions ongoing, that is shareholder value.
A lot of that touches a topic that I won't get into, but greed, there's just too much greed in the system. That's a big, big part of the problem.
I think maybe part of the problem also is that the average stay of a CEO these days is, you know, maybe 6 or 7 years. So there's that short-term mindset of just make my money and get out has been working against us. That shift to long-term value is so important in our own lives, as well as communities, as well as, you know, in individual businesses.
I also think we need to stop talking about things like climate change in future tense. Like, it's not even short, long-term anymore. It's short-term. We had the hottest year on record last year. I will put a dollar down and tell you that potentially might be that again this year, right? And so it's here. So in the short term, we have this mega risk. How are we massively attacking this mega risk is the big question.
Yeah. I mean, the interconnectedness of all of us on the planet. And you just wish and hope that this could rise above any differences. And especially right now when there's war, you know, in so many conflict zones, when time's running out, as you say, and when everybody starts feeling maybe what the insurance industry is already feeling, as you say, it's not about a future generation. It's like now.
And that's why I want us to still have hope. And I still want us to walk to the light, because it's so easy to say like, I feel like this, right? Urgent, right? The day the COP20 talks were about to fall apart, I had to go for a walk. I had to go to the botanical garden and just reset and be with Mother Nature. And remember that Mother Nature will always be there. But we need to think about this in an optimistic and a positive way. But we need to do this now. We need to act on this now. And whatever it takes, just resetting, regenerating, doing my program, doing other programs, whatever it is, let's just figure out how to find the best of who we are. Because when human beings are the best of who we are, we can do so many things that we could never fathom having done before.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir here. So, Karima, we're going to do this podcast again 5 years from now. What are going to be our key topics we're going to be talking about?
So my ambition is I want to build 1 million regenerative leaders. So we're going to talk about how many I got to and what that shifted. We're going to hopefully, because I'm an optimist, talk about how we learn from the permacrisis that's going on right now and achieve peace. There's no other solution. We need peace. Babies are dying, being amputated. Friends are displaced in different countries. And hopefully we're talking about how, you know, we all just found our light and found a way to curb climate change.
Agreed.
It's interesting. I love the way you put it, to be intentional to choose that light and to make that pivot towards regenerative ways of doing and being. I love how you say that.
I'm going to wrap this up. Is there anything that we didn't touch on that you wanted to address?
I think we also, in addition, need to move away from one person knowing more than another person, right? I think we're also in a part of an ecosystem. So I also want to invite anybody who's listening to this podcast, who's doing complementary or similar work, to come and build the ecosystem with me. And I've actually reached out to other people who are doing regenerative leadership, regenerative systems work, to say, let's talk, because that's also part of how we're going to move and shift the world as by joining hands. So let's build that ecosystem and nurture it.
Yeah, I love how at the end of your blog, you invite people to, in leaving their comments, message me, DM, or make a comment, or how about an old-fashioned good chat?
Well, again, inviting everybody, please just no major sell. There is a program. There are many ways to work together. But if this is resonating, please DM me. Yeah. Please contact me. I'd love to make sure we have that conversation and see how we can help you through the programs, through other means, or just by knowing each other and feeling great that we're doing work together.
Terrific. Thank you so much for your time today. We greatly appreciate you sharing your story, your mission, your vision. We need more of it, plain and simple. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Be well. Shine the light. Thanks for listening. This is just a reminder to follow Doing Sustainability wherever you get your podcast. And please leave a rating and review if you like the show. It helps others discover us. And of course, we want more listeners.
If you want to learn more about our agency, Baker, and how we can help you build your corporate brand, align your culture, and evolve your ESG reporting, head to bakerbrand.com. See you in the next episode of Doing Sustainability, where we focus on practical and actionable approaches to sustainability to create long-term value.